She said, you gave me heart failure there. I thought I'd aged since I seen you last, John. I'm glad you said it was spiritual, not nearly died. Good evening. It's a joy to be with you, just to pass on a little help from the good word of God. Could we turn first of all to Psalm 14, please? We're going to look at three fools from the Bible, and we want you just to consider your plight before a just and a holy God. Psalm 14, first of all, please. Verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside, they are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Of all the workers of iniquity, no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord. Now into the New Testament, to Matthew's Gospel, please, and in chapter number 7. For the sake of time, we'll cut in at verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, please, and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Now finally, back into the Old Testament, to 2 Samuel, and in chapter number 3. 2 Samuel, please, and in chapter number 3. Again, for the sake of time, we'll cut in at verse 27. 2 Samuel, please, chapter number 3. And verse number 27. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Ahithophel his brother. Verse 30. So Joab and Abishai his brother slew Abner, because he had slain their brother Ahithophel in Gibeon in the battle. Verse 32, and they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. Now may God add his blessing to the reading of such holy scripture this evening. Now just simply for the time that's at hand, I want to bring to you the great message of God's wonderful salvation from the Old Testament and from the New Testament tonight. I just want to approach your soul tonight and ask you, do you really know God? Are you in fellowship with God? Have you prayed today? Have you read your Bible today? You see, this is our living fellowship with the great sovereign God of the universe. He's the creatorial God. Our brother said that in his prayer. He created, he stayed, and he brought worlds into being. But oh, listen to this, dear friend. In order to redeem, he had to die. He had to take upon himself bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He had to take a human body in order that he could go to Calvary to suffer, to bleed, and to die, and to miraculously rise the third day. We have a living Saviour tonight. He's at God's right hand. He's my Saviour. I wonder tonight if he really is your Saviour. And if you haven't got a Saviour, then listen, don't leave the building without Jesus Christ as your very own. This is an eternal message. This is not for time. This isn't until you've drawn the pension. My friend, this is a message for time and for all eternity. For the burn. Is it heaven? Or is it going to be hell? And ultimately, the lake of fire. We take no joy in telling you that. But we have to, because God loves you. These lovely hymns that we've been singing together tonight have outlined the wonderful, eternal love of God. Do you know anything about it? Is God your Father tonight? Is heaven going to be your home? What's in my mind for these three sections of verses that we've read together? I thought in Psalm 14, just very simply, we have the fool's belief. The fool's belief. No God for me. Not so much that there's no God. I don't think that's what he's saying. But what he is saying is this. There's really no God for me. Maybe that's you. Maybe you don't believe in God. Maybe you're not trusting in Christ for salvation. Maybe you don't know God. Or we're not here to make you religious. We're here tonight that you might be made right. That you might be acquitted of all guilt. Now there's only one person that can do that. And that's my Saviour. And my dear friend, point number one is this. The fool's belief, no God for me. And then I thought in Matthew chapter 7, we're going to see something different. We're going to see the fool's foundation. The fool's foundation, hearing and not doing. Believing, but not accepting. You see, you might believe it in your head, but it's never percolated into your heart. This is a heart problem. Your heart is as black as the ace of spades. Mine was. I want to tell you it was as black as the ace of spades. I tell you, I'm glad you don't know what I practiced, the kind of sinner I was. But I want to tell you, it's been washed clean in the precious blood of the Lamb. Have you had that experience? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Have you washed in the blood of the Lamb? My dear friend, point number two, the fool's foundation, hearing and not doing, believing but not accepting. Oh, you need to accept the Saviour tonight. And then very sadly, as we come to poor Abner, died Abner. Oh, look at this, my friend. Here's the fool's end. Died Abner as a fool dieth. Oh, we don't want you to die like a fool. This is what the Bible's saying. My friend, there's a heaven to gain tonight. And there's a dreadful hell to shun. We want you to consider, here's a man, he was so near the city of refuge, he was almost there, my friend, and yet he never reached it. His hands were not bound. There was nothing to hold him back. There's nothing to hold you back to get to Christ if you would own up to your guilt as a sinner. What about it, dear friend? A fool's end. Oh, don't die like this. A fool's end. Died Abner as a fool dies. Let's come back to this lovely Psalm 14. You'll notice it's to the chief musician. It's almost repeated in Psalm 53. It's to the sons of Maskell. It's the song of man's disease. My friend, I tell you, if someone realized their disease of sin tonight, if they realized their guilt before a just and a holy God, a symphony of praise would rise from this very building, just like the psalmist here, to the chief musician. It's a psalm of David. We want that symphony to rise tonight. We want someone to get to Christ tonight about their sin. I tell you, it would be the greatest meeting of the day if this really happened tonight. Look what he says here, verse number 1. He really says, no God for me, as we've said. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Maybe you haven't said it with your lips, but by your lifestyle, you've no place for God. My dear friend, as you live day by day, you never think about God. You never think about Christ. You never think about the man of Calvary. Well, I tell you, don't be like this man, please. Please consider this man here. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Don't be like the psalmist saying, well, listen, mister, there's no God for me. I want to tell you he loves you. I want to tell you he emptied heaven of its fetch. I want to tell you he gave the darling of his bosom right up to the awful death of crucifixion. For God so loved Scotland, that would have been good. It wouldn't have been good enough. England, Ireland, Wales, wouldn't have been good enough. Thank God we can say tonight that God so loved the world. You see, it doesn't matter the colour of your skin, doesn't matter your bank balance, doesn't matter the street you stay in, doesn't matter your education, doesn't matter your wealth. God so loved the world. You see, there's not a person in the planet that God doesn't love. No matter how wicked and evil they might be, no matter how good they might be, they might be the finest. As I go round doors, don't think I've been in Mallorca, I haven't. It's just going round the doors, my friend, I tell you, I'm speaking to the people. I thank God for the good weather. We can do that. And I want to say to you, dear friend, I've met some of the finest people on the doors, and they don't know anything about God. Oh, when I asked them about the Lord Jesus, I remember a man in Manchester. We were at the Lancashire tent there one year. And this man, this big man, immaculately dressed, lovely big man he was. Oh, son, he says, I don't worry about these kind of things. He says, I just believe in God. I said, do you? That's wonderful. I says, tell me, what about the Lord Jesus? Oh, he says, I don't know anything about him. My friend, that man will never be in heaven. Do you have a Savior? You're not like this man, are you? The fool has said in his heart, no God for me. Look what he says. Look what he says. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Is that not the bedrock of Romans 3? My friend, is that not the character of mankind? Is that not us, me? Is that not you? You and I, my friend, oh, we're looking out into a world that's fast frightening for judgment. I don't know about leaving, but I can tell you about Livingston. I tell you, the people are waxing worse and worse and worse, and they're getting further away from God altogether. We're not even safe in our houses anymore. The children are no longer safe in the streets anymore. You know the propensity of the human heart. You know what mankind can do. You know when sin gets a vice grip of your life, you and I are capable of doing anything. My friend, what about your sin tonight? They are corrupt. Look what he says in this verse. Not me that's saying it. This is what the Bible's saying. They have done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. Not even one preacher, nominal Protestant on the way to hell. And God met me and God saved me and God changed me. Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever met Jesus Christ as a Savior? Have you ever accepted him? I tell you, in October 1958, I can hardly believe it. All these years have gone. I tell you, they have. I just don't know where they've gone. I'm glad I'm not 100 like John, you know. Oh, I tell you, all these years have gone. I think, what about it? The fool has said in his heart, no God for me. What about verse 2, though? What about verse 2? Here's a God who really cares. Do you know that? You see, some people think God is sitting up in heaven, and he's frowning down on this old planet, and he's longing for the day of judgment. My friend, he's not. He's not.
2011 years have run its course. And I want to tell you, the love of God has been shining down like the sunshine today. I tell you, my friend, all these years, he's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish.
My friend, here's a God that cares. How do I know? Look at verse 2. He says, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. I want to tell you, he's looking right down into your heart. Or you can fool the preacher, get out the door. You might just look like a Christian.
And you might even act like a Christian.
But you know in your heart of hearts that you've not got a Savior. You know there's never been a time when, there's never been a place where. My friend, what about it?
Dear man came to our meetings there in Livingston. Came two nights. We didn't know who he was. Just appeared. Came almost the last night. And then he's been back since. And last Sunday he came down and knocked our brother's door and says, I want to get saved. How do I get saved?
Thank God, 41 years of age. And that man, just in a dear brother's house, he got down with him and he trusted Christ. He realized the guilt of his sin. Why? Because he understood that God loved him. Look at my verse, please.
The Lord looked down from heaven. He's still looking down 2,000 years later.
Remember the first time he looked down? Way back in Genesis 3, the first time he looked down and it repented God that he had ever made man at all. Sin was obnoxious to him. Sin was rampant. Just a few chapters into the book and sin was rampant. Is that not our sin-sick society? You know what you practice. You know the kind of videos you watch. You know the magazines you read. You know the things that your fingers practice. My friend, listen. What about that sin that's within you? It needs to be eradicated. Oh, I thank God I met the Savior at 18. I wish I'd met him at 8. I wouldn't have practiced what I had done. What about you, friend? Lord, look down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Have you ever sought God about your sin? Have you?
Oh, that man, he couldn't wait till Sunday. He got there, it was Sunday night actually. He couldn't wait, he had to get this food right, and he did.
My friend, what about it? He's looking down. Look what he says in the verse. Look what he says. Do you understand that he's seeking for you? That, my friend, is for you to seek God. Isaiah says something similar, doesn't he? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Do you know what? There's a time coming when he's not going to be found. Do you know that?
My dear friend, there's a time coming when he's going to come and rapture every New Testament Christian away home to heaven.
There won't be anything in this hall. I hope there'll be nobody here left in this building. I hope everyone will go. My friend, when he comes, every New Testament Christian will go. That means everyone that's depending on the finished work of the Lord Jesus.
Oh, I'm not asking where you worship. None of my business. You might be the most ardent person at your church.
But I want to tell you, you can go there till you're 100. If you haven't got Christ, my friend, you'll never walk the streets of gold. You've got a Savior. He's looking down. He's looking right into your heart. He knows if you're on the broad road that leads to destruction. He knows if you're on the narrow road that leads to heaven and leads to home. I spoke to this brother during the week. I went up to his house to see him. An Englishman he is too. 41 years of age, a bachelor man. I went in to see him and boy, he's got Christ all right. He's rejoicing.
He's rejoicing. His sins are gone. He says they're gone. 41 years I've lived with him.
He said, let me tell you, they're gone. They're all gone. Are yours? Are your sins gone? Look at verse 3 now. Look at verse 3. Look what he says. My friend, listen. You see, here's our people in need in verse 3. Did you notice that? Look what he says. They are all going aside. They all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Oh, my dear friend, you need to do something about the sin question. It's obnoxious to our holy God. He's the high and holy God that inhabits eternity. Isaiah says that, chapter 57, and I think it's about verse 17. You see, my friend, we'll never walk the streets of golden earth, and we need to trust the Savior. We need to be cleansed by the precious blood, because we've got a God who cares about us, and here's our people in desperate need. You need Christ more than you need your next meal. My friend, I want to say to you tonight, you need Christ more than you need anything. Have you got him then? Oh, I tell you, you need him. You must get to Christ about your sin. You must realize the depth of your sin and get to Christ. Dear lady down in Swindon, Jackie Smith, S-M-Y-T-H, husband was an Irishman. Bad to her. Very bad to her. I've never seen slashes in an arm like it. Thank God my friend Adrian Griffiths, who lives in the area, went round the door, got this lady. She came to the meeting. She waited behind the first evening. Oh, she wasn't near it at all. She wasn't ready. But I tell you, at the end of 5 weeks, I think it was the second last night, and I tell you, that lady was quaking, getting to Christ. She was so down about her sin. She wanted to get rid of her sin more than anything. You see, she had really been on the drugs. The authorities have taken all her children away, and she was really down. My dear friend Adrian spoke to that young lady. And thank God, at the end of these meetings, she cried to Christ about her sin. She did. My friend, look at my verse. Look at it. They're all going to say, they're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. But look at verse 4. Look at verse 4, my friend. Here's our people devoid of knowledge. They're devoid of knowledge. You see the propensity of the human heart. Look what it says. Of all the workers of iniquity, no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread. What is the psalmist saying? He's saying that men have no value to life. You see, my friend, men will shoot and murder and name. What's coming to our doorstep, even Livingston, Whitburn, recently, murders and maimings. Young boy going to school and under the underpass, waved goodbye to his mum. Never reached the school. The wee boy was abducted. And a wicked, evil, despotic man abducted him and murdered him. 11 years of age. You see, my friend, look what our verses say. Of all the workers of iniquity, no knowledge. You see, they've no knowledge. They've no value to life. But I want to say to you, whoever you might be in this building tonight, God evaluates your life. Supposing you are only sinner on the island, I want to tell you God loves you. And I want to tell you that Jesus Christ has died for you. I want to tell you, he wants to embrace you and bring you into the family. He wants to make you his child. He wants you, my friend, listen, to own up to your guilt as a sinner. Dear Alec Trail. Don't know if you remember Alec Jackie Trail's brother. Down in Lockerbie, we were having meetings. He says, come on, he says, I'll take you around the graveyard. He says, man, I'll go through the book of remembrance. Remember the Lockerbie disaster? 20 years ago, remember that? Do you remember that plane was blown out of the sky? Do you know what got to me? Do you know what got to me that day? It wasn't geriatrics. I want to tell you, my friend, it was 20s and 30s. They were all at college or university studying. All these people were on some kind of course, and that wicked, despotic man blew them out of the sky. All the workers of iniquity and no knowledge who eat up my people as they eat bread. My friend, God evaluates your life. I want to tell you, he allowed his son to be crucified and slain. He was buffeted and beaten and spat upon. All our sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God who knew him laid them on him by believing. We can. Goofy, I must leave this. Come to Matthew 7 quickly. Ah, my dear friend, come to Matthew 7 just for a minute, not now the fool's belief. But here's the fool's foundation. Isn't it? The fool's foundation. Therefore, whosoever, look at verse 24, look at the wisdom in building. Look at it. I was in the building trade most of my life with John Lane Construction. We never once built a house upon the sand. We never built a laboratory or any kind of industrial unit. No, my friend, we didn't. We were wise in our building. Are you wise in your building? Tell me, what are you building your life on? What is your faith? What is your trust? What's the foundation? Oh, look at this man. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Oh, my friend, what are you building on? Is it the shifting, soluble sand? What are you building on for eternity? My friend, look at the wisdom in building. Look at this. Look at verse 25. Look at the solid foundation. Look at this. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. My dear friend, Jesus is the rock of my salvation, and his banner over me is love. I want to tell you God loves you, friend. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ has suffered and bled and died for you, and miraculously he's risen the third day. I want to tell you he's the resurrection and the life. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, he says to Mary. My friend, is that your Savior? Is that the one you're trusting on? Are you on the rock, Christ Jesus? Or are you just on some kind of sham rock? Are you? Oh, my friend, you need to get onto the rock. In verse 25, look at verse 26. Here's the fool in his dilemma. Look at this. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. You see, here's someone who had but did not. Or he believed but he received not. You see, the wise man, my friend, he believed this, what the Lord Jesus says. My friend, I want you to understand this. To as many as received him, to them gave he the right or the authority to become a child of God. Well, I want to tell you that, dear friend Jackie Smith, we just get down on her knees at the front of the hall, and she literally cried her way to Christ. She was so sick of her sin. I tell you, the next day she took ill and was carted into a hospital in Bristol. And my dear friend Esther Barr, oh, I tell you, worth her weight in gold. What a godly sister, I tell you. She can speak to people about Christ. She was a great help for this young lady. She helped her tremendously. And she's going on for Christ. She's got a Savior. What are you building on? What's the foundation of your trust? Oh, I hope it's not the shifting, soluble sand. Look at verse 27. Look at the destruction and the disaster. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Oh, my friend, that's a disaster. Oh, my dear friend, I want you to think of this destruction of your life. Where are you going to fall at the end of life? Is it into the caverns of the lost? Are you going to go to heaven? Are you going to trust the Lord Jesus? Are you going to receive him and say, yes, I want the rid of the guilt of my sin. I want to strive for heaven. I can't go on the way I am. I'm still in the broad road that leads to destruction. My friend, listen, you can get to Christ where you are. You don't even need a preacher. You can just lift your heart and tell him you're guilty and receive him as your very own. You can do that yourself. Oh, we'll sit here till midnight with you. We won't. Are you building on the rock, Christ Jesus? My friend, look at verse 28 and 29. Look at the danger and disobedience. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these things, the people were astonished at his teaching. Are you astonished at the love of God? Are you astonished at the grace of God? Are you astonished at the mercy of God? I want to tell you I was, and I still am, to think that God loved a rebel like me.
Oh, he loves you, friend.
Wants to embrace you, wants to bring you into the family, wants to make you his own. I tell you, would you allow him? The danger and disobedience, says Peter, 1 Peter 4:17. Well, there is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. What shall the end be? What shall the end be? What shall the end be of those that obey not the gospel? Do you understand, my friend? Are you a disobedient person? Do you not believe that God loves you? Do you not believe that Christ has died for you? My friend, be obedient to the good word of God. He's saying to you, come unto me, all you that labor, that heavy labor, I will give you rest. Are you a burden to me? Are you burdened about your sin? Are you worried about the great eternity? When you pillowed your head last night, were you troubled about many things? Are you troubled about your sin? Would to God that people of Livingston were worried about their sin? Would to God that people of Scotland were worried about their sin? Are you? My friend, get it right. Get to Christ about your sin. I'm finished. Look at my last point just very quickly. Just very quickly. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 3, please, and verse 30, 27. Look at this, my friend. Just recompense of reward. Oh yes, he had done it. Sister, he had done it. And now someone's doing it to him. That's how people die today. In our country. In our villages, in our towns. Just recompense of reward. Tit for tat. My friend, that's how people die. That's how wicked and evil people are. They'll just do what they've done that. My dear friend, what about you? What about you? Oh, what about your sin, my friend? Here's this man. I don't know how you could pass on. Might be disease. Oh, my friend, listen. Might be just recompense of reward. Oh, I tell you, my dear friend, doesn't matter which way you go. Are you ready? Have you made preparation? Are you ready to meet God? Oh, look at this man. Look at verse 30, 33. The king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner. My dear friend, there he is, so near, so far. We sing that hymn, don't we? Almost persuaded. Do you know what almost means? Do you know what almost means? It means to be totally lost. Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost isn't good enough. My friend, that's my little message for you tonight. The fool's end, died Abner, is a fool's life. Verse 33, a foolish ending. You're not going to die like Abner, are you? My friend, he's saying to you, come unto me, all ye that labour, that heavy laden. If you feel the weight and burden of your sin, get to Christ about your sin. My friend, what about it? What about it? Don't go out that door without it. You might never get in again. Says somebody, How can I get it, mister? Well, Romans 10 and 9, thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord. And believe in your head? No. Believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. My friend, listen, going to receive him? Going to own up to it? Going to say, yes, I want, because my mother, I prayed for mum for 25 years. And at 70, she trusted Christ. Wasn't that wonderful? She lived 70 years without him. She was 10 years in him. I want to tell you she's with him. Is that said of you? Are you going to be with him? Shall we pray? Our precious Holy Father, we just draw near now. Bless every head and heart bowed. Should there be those who haven't got a Saviour, oh God, give deciding grace tonight. Despite the preacher, come in Holy Ghost power and save some. For we do ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen. I know time's gone, forgive me. Can we sing that hymn, please? Can't remember the number. Almost persuaded. 251. 251, please just remain seated. Our meeting's over. If you're not sure about the Saviour, if we've been too complicated, maybe we haven't been simple enough, we'll sit to your side, point your thumb and make it clear. Don't leave the building without the Saviour. Just remain seated. 251, almost means to be totally lost. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day. My friend, there might never be a better time for you. Some more convenient day on thee. I'll call. Just remain seated, the whole hymn. 251.